chapter 39. As we all know, the book of Isaiah contains messages, several of them, that God gave to Isaiah to deliver to the people of Judah. And as we've pointed out before, if you were to outline the book of Isaiah, there'd be three major sections or three major points. Chapters 1 through 35 are messages, for the most part, of condemnation because of Judah's sin. In chapters 36 through 39, you have a historical interlude which covers the reign of Hezekiah, where Reformation was brought about. And then in chapters 40 through 66, there are messages of comfort, messages of consolation to the people of Judah. And we want to take our thought tonight, much along with this morning, some of it is repeat, from the third division of the book. The second division ends in chapter 39, verses 5 through 8. But notice verse 5 through 7, "Then said Isaiah to Hezekiah, Hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days come, that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store until this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away. And they shall be eunuchs in the place of the king of Babylon." But notice what Hezekiah said in verse 8. "Then said Hezekiah to Isaiah, Good is the word of the Lord, which thou hast spoken. He said, Moreover, for there shall be peace and truth in my days," which was the case, of course. And then when Hezekiah passed and everything, of course, the judgment began. And then he goes on to chapter 40, and that's where you begin the third section concerning consolation. And God begins by telling Isaiah, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak comfortably to Jerusalem. Speak comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her. To cry means to shout, to exclaim. It's indicative, of course, of an urgency and something of extreme importance. In verse 6, Isaiah asks the question, "What shall I cry?" In other words, he desires to know the specific messages that God would have him bring, and then what follows, of course, is God's instruction concerning the message of comfort that Isaiah was to preach to the people. And the message was basically twofold. He was to present to them in verses 6 and 7 the frailty, the vanity of human flesh. And most people, when you think of comfort, you wouldn't think of starting that way, but that's how it started. You need to tell them that they can't. They don't have the ability. You need to tell them how frail and how vain they are. Tell them of their deficiency. And then the second point, which is the main thrust of this message of comfort, was, of course, the sufficiency of God. Chapter 40, verse 9, he says, "Behold your God." So after presenting the frailty of man, he says, "Behold your God." That's how Isaiah was to comfort the people. And those words, "Behold your God," though they do not occur anywhere else in the book of Isaiah, the thought is there all through chapters 40 through 66. He's directing their attention to the Lord. If there ever was a day when you and I needed to direct our attention to God, it is the day in which we live. That is where we find comfort. That is where we find the strength that we need. That is where our foundation is. Behold your God. It is there that we find help. It is there that we find support. It is there when we find encouragement. We find what will soothe and reassure our hearts and our minds. And we find in Him that which will bring tranquility and contentment. So really, chapters 40 through 66, these messages of comfort, is God's call to Himself. And that's our subject. God's call to Himself is the answer. God is always the answer. There's not a single situation that is not so. God is the answer. And therefore, in every situation, we are to get our attention, get our focus upon the Lord. And that's what Isaiah is encouraging the people to do. Now notice the condition that needed to be corrected. It's implied in the very words, comfort ye. Comfort ye, my people. Speak comfortably to them. If someone is in need of comfort, something has gone awry. Something is not right. In Isaiah 66 and verse 13, as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. That's the Lord speaking. So the very word comfort, of course, implies that there is some discomfort. If you are there to comfort someone, they are experiencing to some degree some discomfort. Implies that there may be distress. There might be anxiety. There might be discontent. There might be frustration. There might be annoyance, depression, heartache, uneasiness, unpleasantness, vexation. And I'm pretty sure that the people of Judah were probably experiencing all of those things to varying degrees. Again, they're about to go into captivity. God's judgment is hanging over them. And this condition that they were in stands out, of course, in chapters 40 through 66. And 10 times from chapters 41 to chapter 54, you have the word fear. And no doubt they were experiencing fear. If you were told that you are in a very short time going to lose everything and be carried into captivity, you would have some fear. We all would. And fear, of course, has a debilitating and crippling power, and it's one of Satan's most dominant weapons. He can use it to torment us. He can use it to dictate feelings, and feelings can dictate behavior. It's a very powerful emotion, fear. And it makes one extremely vulnerable to satanic attack. Fear has the power to cloud the mind. It can make it very difficult to think rationally. That's why we read in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7 of the spirit of fear, and it goes on to declare that the spirit of fear does not come from God, and that the spirit of fear works against a healthy mind. Fear has stripping power. It stripped Peter of his ability to walk on water. As soon as he feared, he began to sink. And it will strip away joy. If you live in fear, you don't have joy. If you live in fear, you don't have peace. You don't have assurance. So it has great power. Fear has enslaving and paralyzing power. We read in Proverbs 29 and verse 25, the fear of man bringeth a snare. It brings a trap. It's a bondage. John 7 verse 13, no man spake openly of him, that is Jesus, for fear of the Jews. So it paralyzes us. Another word that Isaiah used, and other than fear, is the word afraid. Now, I don't really know the difference. Didn't really look into it. Perhaps there is a difference. Perhaps there isn't. But he uses the word afraid 6 times. Fear and afraid. These were problematic. But they were something that needed correction. And that's why the people needed comfort. And he tells them over and over in these final chapters not to fear, not to be afraid. And it's easy to tell someone, don't be afraid. But you've got to give them a reason not to be. And as we saw this morning, the Lord always does. When he says, fear not, it's almost always followed by for I. He's given a reason why we should not be afraid. So we have their condition. It was a condition that required comfort. Next we see the remedy for this condition. And the remedy then is still the remedy today. And if the Lord doesn't come back in 100 years, it'll still be the remedy. Again, just the major thrust of the message of Isaiah is the greatness and the immensity of God. And that is reason enough not to fear. That is reason enough to be comforted. The name Lord, all capital letters, occurs 208 times. In Isaiah. The name God, Elohim, occurs 75 times. The pronouns used concerning God are almost innumerable. There's many, hundreds and hundreds. So God is the focus. God is the emphasis. And that's where we find the comfort that we need. In Isaiah 40 and verse 9, he says, be not afraid, behold your God. Again, that's the remedy to afraid. Behold your God. In Isaiah 44 and verse 8, he says, fear not, neither be afraid, have not I. Have not I. Again, the focus, the emphasis is God. In Isaiah 41 and 10, he says, fear thou not, for I am. And then you go on a little further. It says, be not dismayed, for I am. And then 3 times in that verse, it says, again, fear thou not, be not afraid, for I will. And he says that 3 times, for I will, for I will, for I will. In Isaiah 41, verse 13, fear not, I will. In Isaiah 41, 14, fear not, I will. In Isaiah 43, 1, fear not, for I have. And then he repeats it again. I have, and we saw that this morning. And in Isaiah 43, verse 5, fear not, for I am. And then following that, I will. So once again, as we pointed out this morning, we have I have, I will, I am. And he does, I have, I will, because of I am. But in each case, this is the remedy for their condition. The remedy was God. The answer was God. The answer was not the temporal. The answer was not people. The answer was God. The emphasis, the focus, was not the fear. The focus and the emphasis was not even the object of the fear. The focus and the emphasis in every single case, all the way through, is God. That's the emphasis. And there's many valuable lessons there. That must always be the emphasis. Again, Isaiah's message, as we said this morning, he says, I have 74 times. I will 73 times. I am 36 times. The focus, the emphasis, is not upon the fear. The focus and the emphasis is not upon future captivity in Babylon. The focus and the emphasis is God. He says in reference to his people, I have called thee by name. I have called thee by thy name. It's personal, very personal. In Isaiah 54:6, for the Lord hath called thee. In Isaiah 43:4, I have loved thee. And he goes on to say concerning his people, I have created, I have formed thee. In Isaiah 43. In Isaiah 43:12, a verse we looked at this morning, I have declared, I have saved, I have showed. All of this is, again, getting, it's Isaiah calling their attention to the Lord. In Isaiah 43, verse 14, thus saith the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I have sent to Babylon, and I have brought down all their nobles. In Isaiah 44, and verse 22, he says, I have blotted out as a thick cloud all thy transgressions as a cloud. In Isaiah 45:23, I have sworn. In Isaiah 46:11, I have spoken it. I have purposed it. In Isaiah 51:16, I have covered thee in the shadow of mine hand. Again, the purpose of all of this, this is all part of messages of comfort to the people. And the comfort is focus upon the Lord. That's the comfort. If someone does not want to hear about God, you can't really comfort them. Because God is the source of comfort. 41:10, he says, I will strengthen thee, yea, I'll help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. That's comforting. But the focus is God. He says in Isaiah 41:15, behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small and shall make the hills as chaff. He is saying you will have great ability. Notice in chapter 41, verse 18, he said, I will open rivers in high places. That's the miraculous. That's the unexpected. And fountains in the midst of valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the shittah tree, and the myrtle, and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the fir tree, and the pine, and the box together. God would do the miraculous. That was that is to comfort the people. In Isaiah 42 and verse 16, he said, and I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. Again, the whole emphasis is what God would do, what God had already done, and who God was. As we saw this morning in Isaiah 43:2, I will be with thee. I will be with thee. And when God is with us, it's not He's with us and does nothing. But again, over and over, I will. And He says in Isaiah 43, verse 13, I will work. I will be with thee, and I will work. And who shall let it? Who shall restrain it? Who shall stop my work? There's no one who can. In Isaiah 46, verse 4, I will bear. That is, I'll bear the load. Even I will carry. And there's emphasis. Even I will carry. And I will deliver you. This is all comforting, but the focus is upon the Lord. The focus is upon God. You cannot comfort somebody. You cannot tell a lost person. You can, but you shouldn't. Everything's going to be okay. You don't know that. You do not know that. Now, for a saved person, it's true. Eventually, everything's going to be okay. But you can't just tell a lost person everything's going to be okay. But you can tell them about the greatness of God. And that God is in control. And that may or may not be a comfort to them. But you can't lie to them. You can't give them guarantees that you have no right to guarantee in order to give them comfort. The focus and the emphasis must be God. In Isaiah 49:8, I will preserve thee. That's comforting. I will preserve thee, or I will keep thee. In Isaiah 49:25, I will contend with them that contend with thee. That's true of the child of God. Isaiah 57, verse 19, I will heal. That's always true for the child of God. He may not heal us in time, but eventually we will be healed. I will heal. It's not necessarily true to the lost person. But again, the focus is upon the Lord. In Isaiah 58, verse 14, he says, I will cause thee to ride upon the high places. I'll lift you up. But again, the focus isn't the high places. The focus is I will. I will cause thee. So focus upon what God will do, and we can be delivered from whatever it is. In Isaiah 41, in verse 4, I the Lord, the first and the last, I am He. He goes on to say in Isaiah 41:10, I am thy God. There's comfort there. I am thy God. Nothing can change that. In Isaiah 42:8, I am the Lord. That is my name. Nothing can change His name. Isaiah 43:3, I am the Lord thy God again. Isaiah 43:7, I am the Lord. Beside me there is no Savior. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator. And on it goes. I am He that blotteth out thy transgressions for my name's sake. In Isaiah 44:24, thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, He that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. God didn't need my help in creating. He doesn't need it now either. God never needs my help, your help. We always need His help. In Isaiah 45 and 5, I am the Lord and there is none else. There is no God beside me. the message there is, you have there's no use going anywhere else. He's God. Don't go anywhere else to solve your problems. Don't go anywhere else looking for a remedy. Focus upon God. You can't go wrong. Focusing upon the Lord. Isaiah 51 and verse 12, I am he that comforteth you. My point is the focus and the emphasis is God. In whatever your condition, whether saved, unsaved, whatever other condition you might have, focus upon God. God must be the emphasis. And then that, again, the problem here was fear and afraid and dismay. The way to overcome those things is focus upon God. There's courage in God. There is the ability to face difficulty and danger. There's tranquility. There's assurance. There's inward strength. There's a state of security and contentment in God. Everybody likes security. Everybody likes contentment. That's a good place to be. And there is security and contentment in God. There is a knowledge that you can't have anywhere else outside of God. There's a confidence, there's assurance that all is well. Things may be falling apart all around us, but just as we sang tonight, all is well with my soul. May not be all may not be well around us. All may not be well with our family. All may not be well with our health or finances or whatever. But the main thing is all well with your soul. That's where the emphasis needs to be. And when we focus upon God, remember Martha was cumbered. She was overloaded. She was obstructed. She was distracted by many things. And the way to overcome that is to focus upon God. Focus upon the Lord. And in Him, there's wholeness. There's a state of harmony with God. There's hardly anything better than a state of harmony with the Lord. A feeling of delight in the Lord, a state of spiritual fulfillment, a state of spiritual refreshment and rejuvenation. Those things aren't dependent upon circumstances. Those things are dependent upon God and upon our relationship with the Lord. And when God is the focus, when God is the emphasis, eventually my cup runneth over. Eventually, that's what happens. Philippians 4, verse 11, for I learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. There's a lot of lessons you have to learn to be content. But the two lessons that you have to learn in order to be content is one, I am frail and God isn't. I am frail, but God is sufficient. You have to learn those two truths. So it's no wonder when God tells Isaiah to comfort the people, he begins with their frailty, and then he moves to the sufficiency of God. We are but dust. We are frail. We are weak. We do many things that are not good for our spiritual well-being. But God is sufficient. And our focus and our emphasis must be upon Him. And there's comfort there. There's comfort there. There's deliverance there. There is stability. When the emphasis is upon God, there is stability. It's a wonderful feeling when everything around you seems to be falling apart, but you're on solid ground. That only comes from God. There's strength in focusing upon God. And eventually there is a song, focusing upon God, and there is hope. So we must, the emphasis must be the Lord. The focus must be the Lord. We have this terrible tendency to focus upon the problem or the situation or the circumstance and lose sight of God. We all do it. We're all guilty. Some do it more than others, but we all do it. And it has never once helped a single one of us. Never has. And it never will. But focus upon God. Will that make all your problems go away? No. But it'll help you see your problems in a different light. And it'll give you the strength that you need for that moment. Focus, focus upon the Lord. It's easy in the times in which we live to focus on the news, to focus on the nuts that are in office and just all the terrible things that are going on. And you can focus on those things and just be infuriated. Or you can turn your focus to the Lord. And we find some degree of comfort. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us verse song.